Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today we will start chapter 2 of part 4, Future Joys and Sorrows. This will involve nothingness, the future life, questions 958 to 959. Then the intuition of future joys and sorrows, questions 960 to 962, followed by God's intervention in punishments and rewards, 963 to 964.
Enjoy.
Question 958. Why are human beings instinctively horrified of nothingness?
Because there is no such thing as nothingness.
Question 959. Where does our instinctive sentiment of a future life come from?
We have already told you, prior to its incarnation, the spirit knows all these things, and the soul retains a vague memory of what it knows and of what it saw in its spirit state.
Refer to question number 393. Author's remarks for question 959. In all ages, people have occupied themselves with the future beyond the grave. This is very natural. Whatever importance they may give to the present life, they cannot help but consider how brief and especially how precarious it is, since it can be cut short at any moment. Hence, they can never be sure of tomorrow. What becomes of them after the fatal instant? This is a serious question, for it does not deal with a few years, but with eternity. Those who will have to spend many years in a foreign country concern themselves with the situation in which they will find themselves. So why do we not concern ourselves with the situation we will face when we leave this world behind, since it will be forever? The idea of nothingness is repugnant to reason. When those who are the most unconcerned in this life arrive at the final moment, they ask themselves what will become of them, and they wait for it against their will. To believe in God without accepting a future life would be nonsense. The sentiment of a better life is to be found in the inner being of all, and God did not place it there needlessly. The future life implies the preservation of our individuality after death. What good would it do to survive the body if our moral essence must be lost in the ocean of the infinite? The consequences of that would be the same as nothingness. Question number 960. Where does the belief in future rewards and punishments, which is found in all cultures, come from?
It is always the same thing, a presentiment of reality imparted to human beings by their spirit. You should know that it is not uselessly that an inner voice speaks to you. Your mistake is in not listening to it. If you thought well and frequently about this, you would make yourselves better.
Question 961. At the moment of death, what is the dominant sentiment in most people? Doubt, fear, or hope?
Doubt for hard-hearted skeptics, fear for the guilty, and hope for the good.
Question 962. Why are there skeptics, since the soul brings the sentiment of spiritual things to everyone?
There are fewer skeptics than you might think. During life, many pretend they are bold out of pride, but at the moment of death, they cease being boastful.
Author's remarks for question 962. The consequences of the future life stem from the responsibility for our acts. Regarding the apportionment of the happiness to which all aspire, reason and justice tell us that the good and the wicked could not possibly be mixed together. God cannot will for some to enjoy good things without effort, while willing for others only to obtain them through effort and perseverance. The idea that God applies divine justice and goodness through the wisdom of the divine laws does not allow us to believe that the righteous and the wicked are at the same level in God's sight. Nor can we doubt that someday the former will receive a reward for the good they have done, and that the latter will receive a punishment for the evil they have done. This is why our innate sense of justice gives us the intuition of future rewards and punishments. Question 963. Is God concerned personally with each individual? Isn't God too great, and aren't we too small for each individual in particular to have an importance in the divine sight?
God is concerned with all created beings, no matter how small they may be. Nothing is too small for God's goodness.
Question 964. Must God be concerned with each of our actions in order to reward or punish us? Aren't most of such actions insignificant to God?
God has established the divine laws that regulate all your actions. If you violate them, the fault is yours. Obviously, when people commit an excess, God does not pronounce sentence on them by saying, for example, "You are a glutton, and I am going to punish you." But God has set a limit. Maladies, and sometimes death, are the consequences of excess. Thus the punishment. It results from breaking a law. Everything happens this way.
Author's remarks for question 964. All your actions are subjected to the laws of God. No matter how unimportant they seem to us, they could still be a violation of those laws. If we suffer the consequences of such violation, we have only ourselves to blame. We are thus the artisans of our own future happiness or unhappiness. This truth becomes evident in the following moral. A father has given education and instruction to his son, that is, the means of knowing how to conduct himself. He seeds a field to him to cultivate and says to him, "I have given you the rules to follow and all the necessary implements for rendering this field productive, thereby ensuring your living. I have taught you how to understand those rules. If you follow them, your field will yield abundantly and will furnish you repose in your old age. If you do not follow them, it will yield nothing and you will die of hunger." Having said this, he leaves him free to act as he pleases. Is it not true that the field will produce in the ratio of the care taken in its cultivation, and that all negligence will rebound by harming the harvest? The son will therefore be happy or unhappy in his old age according to how he has followed or neglected the rules outlined by his father. God is even more provident, because God warns us at every moment whether we are doing right or doing wrong by sending us spirits to inspire us. However, we do not listen to them. There is also this further difference. God gives us recourse through new lives to repair our past errors, whereas the son of whom we have been speaking will not have the same opportunities if he misuses his time.